And I want you to turn, if you would, to the book of Psalms 118. I want to share with you something tonight that you may have never thought of before. You may have never heard. You may have never considered. Turn around and look at the person that's next to you and say to them, you're going to learn something new tonight. And then turn around to them again and say, it's about time. Amen. Psalm 118 and verse number 1. Let's look at it together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Everybody say good.
Amen.
Because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see the desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord,
yes,
than to put confidence in man.
Yes, sir.
I don't say don't put confidence in man. It just says it's better to trust in the Lord. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated if you'd like. Look at verse number 2 through 4. Notice he repeated, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Israel represents the house of God, the people of God.
Yes,
all of you that are here tonight that are of the family of God can truthfully say that his mercy endureth forever. Notice the next verse, number 3. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. The house of Aaron represents the preacher, represents the pastor, represents the person that presents the gospel. So can the preacher say that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever?
Oh, yes.
The third one says, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. The truth of the matter is, if you fear God, you are representing anyone who has deep reverence and fear of God. And if you're honest about it, you can say that his mercy endures forever.
Yes, sir.
How many knows God never gives up, does he?
Amen.
Now here's what I want to share with you tonight. The shortest chapter in the entire Bible is found in Psalms 117. 2 verses. The shortest chapter in the entire Bible. The longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. 176 verses. So you got the shortest chapter in Psalm 117, the longest chapter in Psalm 119, and the middle chapter of the Bible is Psalm 118. That's the middle verse or the middle chapter of the Bible. If you look before Psalm 118, there are 594 chapters. If you look the books and the chapters after Psalm 118, there are 594 chapters. You add these two chapters together, add these together, and you will have 1,188 chapters, which broken down equals the center verse of the Bible, Psalm 118 and verse number 8. Y'all with me? This psalm tonight, Psalm 118, was the psalm of ascent. And I was not able to get my slides here tonight, but I wish I could have had them to show you and to give you a visual what I'm going to express to you tonight. When the Jewish people would go up to the temple, and those of you that went on the trip just a short while ago, remember when they would go up to the temple, they had uncovered through archaeology the steps that went up to the temple. And as we went there, I don't remember who in the group asked, but somebody asked the question to the guy. He said, why are these steps, why are they not the same? You would see one step and it'd be 2 foot wide, the next step might be 12 inches, the next step might be 20 inches, the next step might be 16 inches, and they were of varying degrees as it would go up the hill to the temple of God. And so, as the Jews, he explained to us, as they would go into the temple, they would ascend into the temple to offer up the Feast of Tabernacle and the Feast of the Temple of the Feast of Days and the time of sacrifice. And as they would ascend, the reason they were designed in such way was that you would not be in a hurry when you would go up the steps of the temple. It was a reverent thing that you would take your time to contemplate upon the mercy of God. And as they would go up that, they would sing and they would chant Psalm 118. It is also believed by many scholars that Jesus and his disciples sang Psalm 118 at the Last Supper before Jesus went to his crucifixion. Now, if you'll notice in Psalm 118, verse number 24 said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This psalm is repeated in John chapter number 8 and verse number 56. Amen. Now listen to me tonight. Yesterday is the foundation for who you are today. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yesterday is the foundation for who you are today. So therefore, learn and build upon the foundation that you have established. Those who dwell on yesterday usually live in regret. But the Bible says, "I will rejoice in the Lord. This is the day that He has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." You might say tonight, "I don't have anything to rejoice about. All I have is problems. Problems, problems, problems. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I don't have anything to rejoice about." But I want to tell you that you do have things to rejoice about. Amen? I rejoice that we only elect a president every 4 years. Although I wish we could move this one up a little bit. I rejoice that kisses and hugs from grandkids do not cause COVID or germs. Amen? I rejoice that televisions and radios and CD players can be turned off when you want to turn them off.
Right.
I rejoice that my wife thinks I have lost my hearing. So most of the things she tells me, I either say, "Huh?" or I just carry on about my business and just ignore what she has said, because she thinks that I have lost my hearing. And I rejoice over that. If you will look hard enough, you can find something to rejoice about. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Dennis Waitley said, "Happiness cannot be traveled to. It cannot be owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience that is living every minute of your life with love, grace, and gratitude." I wish I knew who I'd heard this statement from that I might give them credit. But years ago, I heard a statement that said, every minute that you are mad or angry, you are losing a minute of joy and happiness. You see, you choose. You said, "Well, so-and-so made me mad." Nobody can make you mad without your permission. Other people may do what they do, but what we have to determine in our life, that instead of getting up in the morning and saying, "Good Lord, morning," we get up and say, "Good morning, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it."
Good, good.
Now, there's many things that we can see at the center or the middle. Now, let's look in the Bible. Jerusalem is the center of the world. It is the cross point between Africa, Asia, and Europe. Ezekiel 5:5, "Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her." The city of Jerusalem, under God's definition, is the capital of the world. It is the center of the world. The first mention of Jerusalem is found in Genesis 14 and verse number 18. When Melchizedek, the king of Salem, David came and he took the king from the Jebusites and he renamed the city to Salem or Jerusalem, the city of peace. It's known through the Bible as a place of praise and a place of prayer. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 B.C. Jeremiah wept over the city saying, I hear the sound of children crying from under the rubble of the city. Ezra and Nehemiah went back a generation later and rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. It was in Jerusalem that Jesus wept and prophesied its ruin. It was in Jerusalem that Jesus was crucified. It was in Jerusalem that the upper room occurred. The city of Jerusalem has been destroyed totally twice. It has been besieged 23 times. It has been captured 44 times. Zechariah 12 says, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. Now, there are a population of 1.5 million people that are living in the city of Jerusalem. 50 square miles comprise the city of Jerusalem, and 1.5 million people live in that 50 square miles. Now, I want to give you perspective. The city of Fort Smith is 68 square miles. The city of Little Rock is 122 square miles. The city of Conway is 60 square miles. The city of Fayetteville is 55 square miles. More land than what Jerusalem has. And yet, I think the population in Fayetteville just became the second largest city in the state with 89,000 people in population on 55,000 square miles. But yet the city of Jerusalem has 1.5 million people on 50 square miles. There are 2,000 important archaeological sites in the city of Jerusalem, 70 cultural centers there, 60 museums, 1,500 parks and gardens in Jerusalem, 150,000 grave sites on the Mount of Olives. Jerusalem lies 33 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea, 15 miles west of the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. 2,000 years ago, they had a one-man parade in the city of Jerusalem. He was a king, and he came to the city, but he didn't ride a horse. He rode on a donkey. But I'm telling you, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When he came that day, they waved palm branches in his path. But one of these days, when he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King, and he's coming back with thousands of his saints to the city of Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Eastern Gate has been shut up. Those of you that went there saw it. It's been shut up for centuries, just like Isaiah said that it would happen. They tried to open it three times, but through miraculous intervention of God, they were not able to open the Eastern Gate that goes to the Temple Mount area. The next time, though, he's going to have a name written across his vesture and across his thigh that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all of us are going to get to go take a trip to the Holy Land. And we're not going to have to worry about COVID. And we're not going to have to worry about terrorism or anything like that. Because the Prince of Peace is going to lead this charge that comes back to the city of Jerusalem.
Praise the Lord.
The cross of Jesus was in the middle between two thieves. The area of the Bible is known as the Middle East. I am told that Mayflower, Arkansas, is the center of this state. I am told that Lebanon, Kansas, is the geographical center of the United States. But I got to tell you tonight that Calvary is the middle of a changed life.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
How many can raise your hand and say, my life was changed because of Calvary? I'm not the same that I used to be. My life is different Hallelujah. When God saves somebody, He doesn't just, somebody said, when I got saved, it cut my liquor and meal in half. No, it won't do that. It'll have a better change than that. Amen. When you genuinely get saved, yes, your old things will pass away. And behold, all things Amen. Become new. I'm glad that I got Glory. Saved.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now I want to give you some lessons that we can learn from the middle verse of the Bible. Verses from this chapter are quoted from in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and 1 Peter in the New Testament. This psalm was used by a large choir of singers, with one side singing a portion and the other side singing another part. And typically what would happen when the family would come together at many of the feasts and many of the celebrations, the families were large back then, and what they would do, and even today they do this, what they would do is mom and daddy might be over here, or daddy might be over here with part of the kids, and mom over here with their other kids, and this part over here would sing a verse of Psalm 118. And then this side over here would say another verse of Psalm 118. And then back and forth, they would go singing this Psalm 118. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, this is a lesson we can learn. It appears to me that the writer of Psalms 118 was experiencing great trouble. Look at verse 10 through 13. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Boy, that's faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody's against me, but in the name of the Lord, I'm going to destroy my enemies. They compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. How many of y'all ever been stung by a bunch of bees? You know what it's like then for the enemy to sting you, and they are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall or fail, but the Lord helped me. This psalm does not reveal what his trouble was, but we know that David had to run from King Saul, who was after him. And King Saul, those of you that went to Israel, remember going to En-Gedi. We went to En-Gedi, out in the middle of the desert, where you didn't see anything but rocks and mountains. You didn't see vegetation. All of a sudden, you came upon an oasis. And there in that oasis, it was green. There were trees. There was a waterfall. There was a pool of water in that oasis. It was called En-Gedi. And that was the place where David was running for his life. And as King Saul came to that place at En-Gedi and had bunked down for the night at that oasis, David stood across on a cliff and he waved a portion of King Saul's garment and he waved it before him, reminding him that he could have took his life, but he refused to touch God's anointed. Now listen, here's the lesson we learned. Sometime you're going to face great trouble, but it's very important to always keep your spirit right.
Yeah.
David had a right spirit in En-Gedi. He had a right spirit. He said, I'm not going to let Saul overwhelm my spirit. I'm going to always do the right thing. And so sometime when you don't feel like it, you do the right thing anyway. You live before somebody and they will see Christ in your life. Now get this. People are not won to Christ by the good times in your life. They see Jesus in your life when they see bad things in your life. And your response to that.
Yeah.
That's when your testimony shines the brightest.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Heard about a little Chinese cook that was working with a quadrant of soldiers. And he was happy, joyful, always singing all the time, sang all the time. And finally the soldiers one day thought, well, we're going to try to see if we can steal his joy. And so somebody put a cup of water over the door. So when he come busting through, that water dumped out right on top of his head. It didn't bother him. He just kept on singing. Well, they said, that don't work. So the night when he was asleep, they took his shoes and they tacked them to the floor. So the next morning when he got up and they called for everybody to come, you know, you got to move quick there in the military. And when they called for him to come up, he put his feet in the shoes and they were tacked to the floor. He couldn't move. So he had to get them out. So he was late. So he got cursed out by the sergeant because he was late coming out. And they pour all kinds of pranks and things on that little Chinese fellow. And he just kept singing, just kept singing, just kept rejoicing. just kept just so happy, smiling, and it would really begin to bother the guys. And one of the soldiers, they got together and they decided they were going to apologize to him. So they went to him and they said, "We want to apologize to you for what we've done. We have been terrible to you. You just keep smiling, you just keep laughing, you keep singing." And said, "Why is it?" Said, "We just apologize for it." And the little Chinese fella said to them, said, "Do you mean no more cup over the door?" And they said, "No, we're not going to do that anymore." He said, "You mean no more tap shoes to floor?" And they said, "No, we're not going to tap your shoes to the floor anymore." He said, "Okay, then no more spit in your soup." Now, you're going to feel like sometimes spitting in somebody's soup. You're going to, now y'all being holy tonight, I know you are. Let's be real. How many of you folks in this room tonight, you have people that kind of get on your nerves? Sometimes you just feel like, "Now I've just kind of had enough of this individual. This is all that I can take." There's people like that in all of our lives. And sometimes you feel like spitting in their soup. But I'm telling you, your greatest witness to Christ is when you're experiencing great trouble and you have the sweet spirit of Christ, you walk with Christ and you exemplify Christ during your darkest hour. That's when they see Christ in your life. You see, stars are seen at nighttime. And when you have nighttime in your life, the bright and the morning star will shine the brightest when it's nighttime in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number two. We learn from this psalm that there's great hope in God. Now, there's a lot of bad, ugly things in the Bible. But the middle verse of the Bible says that there is hope. Amen. Some put their confidence in man, but I will put my confidence in the Lord. For it's better to put confidence in Him. Nearly 170 times we are told to trust God in the Bible. Romans 5 and 5 said, "Hope maketh not ashamed." Isaiah 26 and 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is an everlasting strength." It's amazing, but God can turn your trial into a triumph. Yes. He can turn you as a victim into a victor.
Yes.
He can turn your mess into His message. Mm-hmm. He can turn your test into His testimony.
Correct. Yes.
John was on Patmos Island, but he turned his concentration camp into a consecration camp.
Yeah.
He said, "I may be working hard and I may not like where I'm at, but wherever I'm at, I don't like this job, but I'm going to give it everything I've got." And the Bible said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and God gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he spoke just profound words that the world had never heard before or never heard since about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible. What happened? That did not come in easy circumstances.
Right.
It came when it would have been easy to lose his trust in God. But he did not lose his trust and his faith in God. He stayed faithful to God.
Amen.
We sang that song, "Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday is gone. All of my sins have been forgiven."
Yes.
I've been washed in His blood. Number three, God makes every day. Y'all believe that?
Yeah.
God makes every day. So we might as well rejoice when times are bad as well as when they are good. We don't have any promise of tomorrow, so we might ought to make it today count.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, I've never heard anybody stand up in testimony service and say, "Hey, folks, I'd like to thank God for my troubles. I've been having a difficult time, and it's just been having a rough time, but I just want to thank God for the troubles He sent my way." What do? We thank Him when times are good. We stand up and testify when times are bad. But how about when times are when they're good? But how about when times are bad? Are we able to stand up and say, "God's been faithful through my difficulty. He's been faithful through my difficulty." Amen. A lady stood up and she was requesting prayer and she said, "Folks," she said, "I'm really having problems." She said, "It's been a rough week." Said, "The devil's been after me all week long." And said, "It's just been terrible." Said, "I've just been beat up and battered." And said, "The devil's really giving me a rough time this week." Her husband's sitting right there beside her. He piped up and said, "Well, I'll have you folks know she's not the easiest thing to live with." And sometimes you feel that way. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about you marriages. That's not what I'm talking about. Make today count. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. How many knows it does no good to gripe or complain? I've met people who smile. If they smile, they get a Charlie horse in their cheek.
Yeah.
Really? I have. I've met folks that, I mean, I looked at them and I thought, man, they've had surgery. Somebody went and took, the doctor went and took their charisma out of them. They don't seem to have anything going. But you know what I think our attitude ought to be like? The 12 spies that went into the promised land. 10 of them went and they said, we can't go in and take the land, for there be giants in the land. And we can't do it, and we are in their size as grasshoppers. We can't go into the land of promise. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb, that said, yes, there's giants in the land, but said there, it's a land that flows with milk and honey, and said, we can take the land. We're able to do it. 10 of them had the gripes, and 2 of them had the grapes. And you see, we can either have the gripes or the grapes. We make a choice in our life. Listen, if you do not invest in your joy, nobody else will. So make up your mind, I'm going to be joyful. I'm not going to complain. I don't feel good right now, but I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just going to say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but you're in charge, and I'm going to thank you even in the bad times as well as the good, for I know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Read the middle verse of the Bible. Number 4. If you keep your trust in God, you'll have nothing to fear.
Right.
That word trust comes from the Hebrew word, which means a refuge. If you'll take refuge in the Lord,
yes,
you'll have nothing
Thank you.
To fear. Let me share this with you and we're going to close. There was a young lady by the name of Charlotte Elliott that had been crippled all of her life. She became very bitter over her condition. She blamed God, she blamed her parents, she blamed everyone that came around. One day a pastor came by to see her, and she let loose on him. She said, if you people were Christians like you say you are, you could pray the prayer of faith, and I wouldn't be crippled, I'd be raised up. He just listened to her. He let her rant, and he let her rave. And after she got through and ran out of words, he began to challenge her. Began to challenge her. To see the good in her life. And as he did, soon she began to think about it. She became a Christian. She followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And 14 years to the day after she became a Christian, she wrote a song that said, just as I am without one plea, and that thy blood was shed for me. And thou that bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come,
oh, yes.
I come. One of the verses says, just as I am, though tossed about, with many conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fear within and without, O Lamb of God, I come. This song has been one of the most popular hymns that the world has ever known. Billy Graham closed all of his crusades with this song in his altar service. You've ever heard. And I'm telling you tonight, you don't have to dress up, you don't have to comb your hair, you don't have to fix up in any way, and you don't have to pray a fancy prayer, but you can come to God just as you are.
Yes, sir.
And you can trust in that middle verse of the Bible.
Yes, sir.
It is better to put your confidence in God than to put it in man.
Yes.
I've got my confidence in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what the future is. I'm not a prophet. But I know who holds the future in His hand.
Yes, sir.
And I know that everything's going to be all right because He's still in charge.
He's still God.
Y'all believe He's got the whole world in His hands?
Still God.
He does.
He's still God.
And nothing catches God by surprise. This nonsense that's going on around the world right now, and when churches begin to close due to COVID and various things that's going on and off, I don't think the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, had to have an emergency session in heaven, wringing their hands, and said, what are we going to do? Our churches are all closing their doors.
No.
God knows exactly what's going on.
Yes, He does.
And I believe with all of my heart that the Lord is setting the table for a great revival that's going to sweep this country like it's
granted,
never had
Lord
before.
Jesus,
I've seen signs of it around the state. I'm seeing signs of people that are getting hungry for God. I'm seeing signs, Brother Horton, of people getting saved that They never have been before, but they have been seeing that something's going on and they need to do something with their life. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word of life. I thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I pray, God, that you would minister to us now. Help us, God, to put this advice from the center verse of the Bible. Make it a center of our life. Help us to put our full faith and confidence in you. Though sometimes we don't feel it and we don't see it, let us put our faith in you to know that everything's going to be all right. I praise you for these things. In Jesus' name.